Okay, we're recording.
Okay, thank you all for being in attendance. For the record, this is a meeting of the Leon County Research and Development Authority's Budget Committee. It is September the 19th, and the time is 2:05. I call the meeting to order. Secretary has publicly noticed the meeting, and then we're in good order to proceed. We have quorum present. At this time, I'll ask if there are any public comments. Hearing none, I'll ask if there are any modifications to the agenda. And there are none, then we will look at the draft minutes. Those were provided to you on the September 13th meeting that was held in 2016. I was not present at that meeting, so would not be a good one to make a motion. I guess I couldn't anyhow as chair, but I'm simply to advise you that they have been published for your review. And if you don't see anything in there that would appear to be inaccurate or missing, the chair would be glad to receive a motion for approval.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Any opposition? Hearing none, the minutes are approved. Next, we have a discussion of the budget presentation. For purposes of just kind of where we've come, I will tell you that at my very first meeting to attend the authorities board, we reviewed the budget by the full board and every single line item in that budget, to include which magazine subscriptions we would renew, which charities we would support, which organizations we'd be a member of. And it took 3.5 hours, and the biggest debates came on which magazines and which organizations to support. I'm certainly glad to have, as our executive director of CPA, who understands the process of budgeting, who has made many presentations through his life, has put together a budget for us to easily understand and review. And at this time, Chair, please call on Ron to make a presentation of his proposal for us for the upcoming year's budget.
Thank you, sir. First, I have to clarify that I am not officially a licensed CPA in Florida. I can't hold myself out to be one.
Only in Indiana.
Only in Indiana, then, and it's an active business that goes to be a CPA in Indiana. So, my continuing education on things that have to do with research parks and business engagement.
So, okay, good.
This year, if you were involved in the budget process last year, we didn't have the narrative. This is my attempt to sort of boil down everything to keep it as straightforward and clear as possible. I don't know how much of this you want me to go through, but the big picture is we really got helped out with the FSU lease that saved us for a couple of months. We had the NWRDC lease that started kind of at the beginning of the year that hadn't been budgeted for. We're also looking forward to things like, not in a good way, but you know, some things dropping off, like the Sunnyland Solar lease. We do not expect to continue after August of next year. Things to be concerned about: the EEP program income. You know, we're budgeting $40,000 for that. That's a big uncertainty, but we'll address more specifically how we hope to address that going forward. And then interest income, we did better. You know, that's one of those things we kind of go with, you know, where the markets go. So interest rates rose, and we benefited from that.
Well, to be honest, too, we also modified the mix to a more favorable position for us.
We did, and it's the thing with the way we invest to keep in mind is that there are some short-term fluctuations that hurt us even when interest rates rise, because some of the investments that we're in, they're holding these mostly bonds, I guess, that the prices go down as interest rates go up until they can change their position in those bonds, they lose a little bit. Over time, it's worked itself out, and that's in the SPIA investment fund. So we're doing better there. I was conservative looking forward in that, not knowing where that's going, so I did budget better than what our current interest rates are, just to be conservative. I do think interest rates are going to continue to rise. I don't know about the rest of you, but seems to be headed that way. Probably the biggest change, not probably, the biggest change in this budget is the authority employee expense. And I'd like to, if we could kind of hold that one towards the end and have that discussion, because I think it's probably the most substantive discussion we'll have. And I have a change related to that as well. I did build in salaries and wages with a maximum increase of 3% for myself and 4% for other staff. Obviously, my increase is at the will of the board, but better to put it in than not. Utilities, the increase is there. Obviously, the biggest expense we have, there are two biggest expenses we have related to the new space occupied by Anthropology is related to utilities and janitorial expenses. So you'll see that down below as well. It's good to get the $180,000 a year in rent, but we do have some expenses that go with that. We did build in a little inflation on the city utilities. We have a few things we know we need to get done. One is to improve the landscaping in the Don Fuqua complex. Right now it's got a lot of things that look like dead sticks sticking up out of the planters. And so Stephanie has taken a look at that and just gotten some bids on planting, you know, good annuals and perennials, just to beef that up a little bit. That will be helpful because we're going to have to start trying to lease that more aggressively, and the more we can spruce that up, the better. This year we already, Stephanie's already had all the trees trimmed around there, cleaned up the landscaping and in the walkways and things. That's been very helpful and makes the thing look a lot better. We didn't have any major carpet repairs plan going forward. We did have some but for this past year with FIPS at DOT, but we had that budgeted. And then I mentioned the janitorial services. The administrative expenses, the audit fees are going to go down as a result of the RFP. Most of you are familiar with that. The other program expenses, these next two line items have to do with the fact that we now have someone running communications and programs, and she'd like a little bit of money to do something with. So Denise has requested that we increase our other program expenses to cover some other events, like to add a couple of e-club events, get those entrepreneurs together. We've done it, I think, once, but we didn't really have much budget for that. $1,000 to add a new event. I know that we've had some conversation about trying to get some public events out here, so we just want a little money to try to facilitate that. We'll do, whenever we do events like that, we'll try to bring in partners and get sponsorships and not have too much come out of our pocket, but just to get some more exposure out here.
We kind of kicked around some things like maybe a hot air balloon displays or something, or a 5K race or something that was starting in here or something. We don't know what. But
I've been talking to Kristen Roberts because she wants to do an open house kind of possibly focused on sports.
Yep.
So we were talking about doing a 5K during the Mag Labs open house in the morning. So we're looking at that for next year.
We don't have any specifics yet. Ron has properly put something in there. So if we need to market a little bit, we can.
And then we had a little increase to improve the tech grant program. We actually did spend some of that this past year, the audio in particular, which we had problems. We actually had to go out and hire someone to do the audio. But at the same time, we did go out and get a little extra revenue through sponsorships, and we'll continue to try to do that. We think we got a lot of positive feedback from different folks in the community who I think might be willing to up their sponsorships a little bit to help offset some of that. And since we keep track of the revenue and the expenses separately, so that's why you see that as zero. And then Denise is also looking at some things we can do in marketing and PR. It's not a huge number, but add $2,000 for an ad. Now, she's currently working with A50 Magazine and trying to get some local exposure. We may or may not do that particular one, but they've offered us to be able to do something big in A50. We also need to do some other little things like a branded tablecloth and some promo items like coffee cups and things like that, just to get the logo out there. We do Discovery on Parade, for example. We have a table. We'd like to have something that's got our logo that looks nice. design stuff.
Have we somewhere any a backdrop kind of?
Yes.
Do we own one of those?
Yes.
I don't remember, but
yes, we that material we got here, and it's something that you can put Velcro
pictures on,
graphics on, and stuff. So yeah. Velcro back graphics. It works pretty well. It's tabletop, 8 foot long.
Yeah.
Still usable. Still
yes.
Good.
Yeah. So it's good. Actually, we have some really old pictures from the Mag Lab that we decided not to use.
We got
updated
stuff. That looks better.
they had somebody use an old CRT, but doesn't really convey that high tech image that we're from. She's also looking at targeted Facebook advertising, and we'll have to talk about exactly how we do that targeting, but apparently you can put in certain keywords and
geo-targeting.
Yes. She knows all about that stuff. That's why we hired her. So again, not a lot of money, but something we can get started with, and it's kind of low-cost advertising. She also needs some software to do some of the design work that we need to get done. And then, as in last year, we included $3,000 to sponsor Discovery On Parade. That's our biggest event that we get our name out there with so far, and we'd like to continue that. And then the $1,200 is for other sponsorships that come up throughout the year. Just wouldn't necessarily go to all one, but if there's just somebody says, hey, we need $100 for this or sponsor this, and we get our name out there, we'll have some money to do something like that with. Talcor is just, that's in their contract that they get their 3% increase. This is the last year of their contract, so we'll have to look at doing an RFP for that to start October 1 of 2018. I did finally get the final renewal quote in, and it is in the budget as the final came in. We went back to them after they gave it to us and tried to get that little increase. It's like $500 increase wiped out. Their argument was, well, we enhanced your coverages in all these areas, and they gave us a nice spreadsheet that shows how they enhanced the coverages, and basically they were trying to avoid taking any increases, I think is what it was, but it's less than, it's about 1%, I think. And then, so that's kind of the operating budget. So before we get into the capital budget, do you guys have any questions about any of this so far? Let me tell you about a couple changes. So, and mostly minor. There are three changes I made. One is our Simplex contract came in. We had an error in there. It was actually $560 higher. And then we included $1,000 for the bus trip to Gainesville. Dave would like to have a road trip for board as a new incoming chair. So try to get a meeting and a tour in perhaps Alachua, St. Martin, Biotech Incubator, and maybe a facility in Gainesville that gets into the business incubation.
Gainesville seems to be 15 to 20 years ahead of where we are. And I've always found that there's a lesson to be learned somewhere, someday, either good or positive, something you should try to emulate or something you should avoid by going and looking at somebody bigger than you, older than you, or whatever else. And I thought it might be just good for the board to take a one-day retreat and go down there on a van and look at their equivalent park and some of the facilities on it and come back a little better educated.
How do we get around the public notice and open invitations?
I think there's a way you can do it. It's been done. We did the trip to Nashville.
You probably just put Tamarin.
Yeah, you put Tamarin on the bus. And,
oh, okay.
Yeah, and so you just notice it, and the press has the opportunity to come along if they want, okay. and listen to conversations and interview people. And
also, when you're like visioning, you can kind of get away with the things that are general terms. You're not talking about.
If it's exploratory, you're not processing anything in the discussion that has to be voted on. It makes it a little easier too.
Okay. So, all right, and so the big thing that I wanted to talk about and put to the end, at least on this part, is the hiring of another person. And I've changed a little bit from what we had in your budget. I had in there, if you looked at the night admin detail, I had $80,000 a year, but for a director of business incubation and acceleration, and this is a flexible title, we'll get into the details of it, but generally speaking, this would be somebody who could be focused 100% on business incubation, acceleration, entrepreneurship, who could start now, well, in January, specifying what's going in the facility, raising funds. I've actually started working on a job description that might help explain a little bit. And this person would also be responsible for the EEP program delivery, which is part of the change, and this is something that just developed in the past, I don't know, 3 days. I met with someone on Friday who Steve Evans referred to me, and it's someone, as we've talked about, and Larry talked about in a previous meeting, that he's interested in transitioning out of the program. He didn't know when it was going to happen, but we think it's going to happen sooner rather than later. And the plan is for this person to shadow Larry in October. We won't be paying for that. And then this person could take over the program beginning in December. And because we're basically under contract for Larry to get 6 months worth of payments, which would be through the end of November. This current program is going to end early November. So the new person would start in December and would be available to continue the EEP program into March. Okay. Now, this person that I've met with, I think is capable of doing this other job, of doing the incubation. This person has already investigated and is contemplating starting his own business accelerator. And I don't want to get into the details at this point because it's somewhat confidential, but if this person is who I think he is, he might be capable of doing this job. Now, obviously, we would advertise the position and see what else is out there, but at least have some confidence that this kind of person does exist, who could help with the development, who could run the EEP program, who could then manage the incubator accelerator. He's worked with startup companies in town. He's actually ran one of the startup companies in town, doing tech transfer and technology commercialization. So that's really, those are the kinds of things I'm looking for somebody to do this. And I just know with the current workload and all the things we're trying to get accomplished, if we want to get this incubation accelerator going, we're going to have somebody focused on it.
And if you let's be clear here just a minute, too. This committee is not being asked to approve us proceeding with the hiring of an individual. We're only approving the placement in the budget of funds in the event the executive committee and the board chooses to make that decision. We want to be prepared and have it in the budget in case that happens.
Yeah, and this, unlike in past years where we actually had no money to spend or make any decisions about, that was pretty straightforward. And the executive committee reviewed and approved it, went on the consent agenda, and there was very little, if any, discussion at the board meeting. We don't expect that to be the case this year. We expect that it'll go on the general agenda, and there'll be a full discussion about all these issues. But I'd certainly entertain any questions you have at this point about this.
Yeah, I just have a couple of questions, maybe just one question. When we submitted the grant application through the governor's economic development fund,
the Florida Job Growth Grant Fund,
right, was that position part of that budget?
Yes.
That we were requesting?
Yes.
Okay.
There were some funds in there. I don't know that it was as much as what I had in there because I think it was the 80s when I had.
Okay.
Questions of the executive director?
I guess the question that I have a couple concerns, but I guess my first question is, we're in a place this year, obviously with new leases and things like that, where we have money, right? We have more money than we had last time, and so we're basically finding ways to spend that money. I think it's a good thing. what I'm at, I guess what I'm wondering is if an analysis has been done of, because I mean, to basically hire or set money aside, even if we're not making the determination to hire somebody, to set money aside is basically all but doing that. That's a reoccurring cost of $80,000 to $100,000 a year. For instance, the FSU anthropology lease is a 2-year deal with 2 years, you know, potential extension. But the goal, I think, for FSU is that it's like a 2-year one and done. I guess I wonder if there's been an analysis done of looking at the funds that are coming in. And I know you can't, you know, just totally make decisions based on your finances right this second, but knowing that some of these things are coming.
There's another sheet in your packet that goes into that. It shows the potential revenue and the losses, because yes, those are certainly big considerations. And if anything, I think that's a reason to expedite hiring this position, is to start being able to fill out spaces, to get Collins redeveloped, to get Morgan leased. And then, because the other thing I'm looking at here is with the redevelopment of Collins, we're going to need somebody who can actually go in there and start developing the programs right out of the gate. And they can use Collins, even though it's not the Jumpstart incubator that we thought we wanted to put in there, they could still use the office space to lease out. They could still use the lab space to lease out and use that as sort of the starter for the program while they're developing the programs, while they're gaining sponsorships, while they're looking at the future development that we want to do. I think they can help with all of that and keep that ball moving, and that will be part of my focus, is also leasing Morgan, you know, working with other partnerships with OEV and the airport and trying to get the leasing going on that, especially with what the airport announced that they're doing. We think there's opportunities there. I know it's all sort of pie in the sky right now, but to me, this takes it out of that realm a little bit. Now, if you want, I can show you what I was talking about. Because, yes, there's some bigger concerns. I mean, this budget year doesn't have a full 12 months of that expense in there.
Right.
Now, it helps if the EEP expenses go away, because I didn't up it by $40,000, I only up the salary by $20,000. So there's 20 that we get back. In terms of the future revenue, so the revenue potential from Morgan is about $230,000. And so I tried to also estimate the cost to get to some sort of gross profit. In Collins, let me fix this a minute. So I looked at what's going to be leasable when we get the redevelopment done. And again, this is looking for at least 12 months, so obviously it's not going to impact this year. But so with what is leasable there, and then also contemplating the fact that we intend to transfer some tenants from this space to the Collins space, I backed that out, so we did a double dip. So you're looking at about $250,000 there. So total new revenue potential about $480,000. You're not going to be 100% leased, even when you're leasing well. Typically, you're going to, you know, 80% is a good number. And factoring in the cost, there's probably about $283,000 in revenue, gross profit that's available.
And that's after the Morgan building is redeveloped, correct?
After the Collins building.
Collins.
Yeah, after right. Collins is redeveloped and with Morgan getting leased, yeah.
And what's the timeline, do we think?
12 months, probably.
From the start of,
yeah, now
approve the capital budget.
One of the things we want to try to do is figure out if, based, I had another conversation last week with the company that's interested in moving here from Sid Martin that we've talked to before. They're going to have a decision in 3 to 6 months, and then they're going to want to move really quickly. This is the most serious I've seen them be in specific. To the point of wanting to give me details about what the lab's going to look like, but it's a drug development company, and they've been down at Sid Martin for a while. So they want to move fast. So what I'm trying to figure out how to do is, I have one other tenant here that wants lab space over there. So it's about 1,100 square feet of the 2,250 in lab space that it could potentially be leased fairly quickly. He wants it now, and if we don't get him something soon, we're going to lose him. So I think there's incentive for us to try to figure out, when we're doing the redevelopment, how to focus on getting the lab ready to go first, and then start working the other spaces, whether it's the demolishing of the 10,000 square feet at the one end, that can be last. But let's focus on the other end first. So those are just some of the thoughts that are coming into all this and how we can get moving quickly on being able to lease that space.
Got it.
And then the big bombshell is looking 5 years out. I don't know if you noticed that. That was the last item I think I had in the narrative. Don't know what made me see this.
Yeah, I had that question too.
I forget what I was doing, but I went looking at their lease and I went, what is that?
Yeah.
Who thought that was a good idea?
That's a shocker.
Yeah, who thought that was a good idea? So they backloaded the incentives and cut their lease to by $100,000 a year starting with their decision to exercise the option, which I can't imagine they wouldn't exercise the option.
Right. Yeah.
So now we've got 5 years to figure that one out, but I agree 100%. Trust me, I'm thinking about that the whole time.
Ron, the 80% occupancy rate.
Yeah.
You're at 80% at the beginning of the year fiscally?
That revenue is not in this budget.
Okay.
That's saying here's what we have the potential for in future years, because I agree with Dustin that we got to worry about when you hire somebody, you're going to be able to keep them. So
basically, when you hire this person, you're going to just be initially funding that person from the general funds.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have 2 years to figure this out.
Yeah.
With FSU and the anthropology. Now, if they decide to renew their lease, then we got another year. So we have a little time, but not a lot of time to get that sorted out. But again, that's time for this person. This person's going to have to earn their way. I mean, they're going to have to make the incubator successful.
Have you developed a position description yet?
Yeah, that's why I started one here. That's what this is.
I would have that already for our executive committee for sure.
Yeah.
I guess the question, and maybe this is just me trying to line up timelines here, but because my initial, in reading the intention to hire somebody new, I'm trying to think about what that person does while this is getting built. And I understand that part of what I think you're saying is that this person's going to look at design and specification and actually help, I guess, the actual money that we're being spent on, how it's going to look and feel and all that stuff. But
their job is to get it built.
Yeah. Okay. Explain that. If my feeling is that maybe we're hiring somebody a year early, because that's what it felt like when I read the material, I guess if you could help clarify for me why it isn't a year early, because there's a whole year of things that we need this person to do even before we can start our incubation programs, I think that would be helpful.
Well, in the business plan that the consultants did, they recommend hiring them as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. When I spoke to the folks at UCF, when I toured their incubator, they suggested hiring the person as soon as possible because their input is essential into developing a successful incubator, because they're the ones that got to manage, but they're the ones that have experience that kind of know what they need. And frankly, if you have to rely on me to get it done, it's going to take a really long time with everything else that we do and everything else we want to get done, especially if one of those things is figuring out how to lease space and how to work with OEV and the airport and getting the business attraction pieces going and the magnetic task force and all of that. So to me, those are the essential things to get to realizing some of that potential revenue from the leases. But the incubator won't go. Now, if we decide that, hey, we just, you know, incubator will have to wait, you know, then it would wait.
We've reached a point in the evolution of this park where it's time to step up, get off the dime, move forward, take the next big leap, and make something happen. I can imagine what it looked like when we first were trying to put together the first two or three buildings on this site. We probably didn't have leases. We probably didn't have the opportunity to put down the specifics of what it would look like and how it would be, but we had some faith. We made it happen. I know good business decisions aren't necessarily made on faith, but on the other hand, we do have 2 years of money. I don't see how we can ask Ron to do anything more than he's doing right now. And if we're going to take that next step, we're going to have the resources to make it happen. So that's kind of my feeling about where we are with this. Again, we're not asking for permission to hire a person. We're setting up funds in the event that in a much larger discussion, much more in-depth discussion, we'll have that funds will be in the budget to cover that if so.
And the alternative might be the board says, hey, let's not hire that person. Let's hire somebody to go do marketing of real estate. Mm-hmm. That's a reasonable thing to consider as well.
So
that person wouldn't run the EEP program.
Yeah. Then you got that to come back into the budget again.
Yeah. So.
The 1. Not to move in, but the 1.8 million that is for essentially the renovations. What is that? Is that that's not only just to do the work, but that's also for the design. That's for basically the architecture. All
yes,
this, right?
Yes. That's the.
Because I guess the other not to kind of harp on this, but it's like we're paying a whole lot of money to Lewis and Whitlock. It seems, or we're going to. I don't know if they're the ones
that may not be the work,
yes. Right? But let's say it is them or someone like them. We're paying a whole lot of money for a firm to do what they do, which is create or recommend how we create a sexy functioning site, and then we're hiring another person with a pretty hefty salary to sort of do that too, I guess?
No, they work together because Lewis and Whitlock only knows, they know what a lab looks like, you know, because they developed labs for FSU. They don't, and they're really focused on the mechanical aesthetics, but the space planning, what goes where, you know, what kinds of things you need in there, they don't know those things.
Yeah.
So it's really those people working together to get to the end result. But that's, and the space itself is just a very small piece of it. Really, it's developing the programs. What kinds of entry requirements are you going to have? What sort of mentoring do you need to have? And go out and start soliciting those things. What kind of sponsorship money can you get from the community and elsewhere to help fund the thing?
Grants.
Or whatever. It could be sponsorships. So you just need somebody who is totally focused on it, who understands all sides of it, and can own the program. And I think it's much like what Michael Wyden did, I believe, when he came in and started working on Domi. I mean, he was, when Micah here, I don't remember the exact timing, but I think Micah was here well before the thing opened. He worked with, actually, Lewis and Whitlock, I think, on the design and you know, construction of the space. I don't know how long it took him. I don't think it was quite a year, but yeah. Then we're talking a little bit different deal here. But so it's, the architects and engineers can only go so far with what they know how to do. You need somebody who's got a little more specific knowledge.
Other questions?
Well, I guess to your point about maybe having, if there's an alternative there where we say, well, maybe the focus should be on putting a concerted effort to lease the space that we have and hire someone to go out and actively advertise the leases that we have available. I would just maybe like to see that also in addition to this alternative, because it seems like if we move forward with this is the only one that we basically memorialize, then that is our recommendation, and we're not weighing any other options.
Okay.
So I would just put that out there.
Okay.
Okay, more?
So that's, and so what I'll do, if you approve that, you know, somebody makes a motion at some point, but I will, with any other changes, we will include an alternative scenario to present to the executive committee and to the board that involves hiring someone to promote the marketing of the park and to lease space.
Okay, you've heard a presentation by our executive director.
That's through the operating expense. I mean, we'll talk about capital budgeting.
Yeah, let's go on to it. Yeah, let's hit that too.
That's a big number.
Yeah. It sure is.
Yeah. And Stephanie's giggling over there. She's the one. So the 1.8 is the remodel cost, and it actually, I think our original one came in at 1.6, but they had an exception in there. They didn't have anything for permitting, and I just, and it's been, there's been some time lapse, so, and that's a cap. We're still going to have to go out and bid it, so we're just saying that's the maximum budget for that. The trail with lighting, that's an updated number from what we had done previously because we didn't have the lighting component in there. Conversations with the Public Works, they're the ones that actually worked on the cost numbers for me. I needed those for submitting to the grant application. That's why that's that much higher. We had discussed maybe just putting in a conduit, so coming back later and adding the lighting. But after conversations with Public Works, they said that's really the conduit's the hard part and the expensive part. So their recommendation was to just go ahead and do the whole thing if we can. If we decide we don't want to spend that much, then maybe we go back and we don't do lighting. So, and then the assumption if we're going to hire somebody, we probably going to use a laptop and some other office equipment for them.
Ron, was the decision made that the $1.8 million? Is it a full, complete renovation of a targeted approach to renovation, or is it just to get a shell ready and then there's additional renovations that are more specific to the tenant?
Yeah, both. It's what we, I don't know if you were there for the presentation of the Lewis and Whitlock study on the Collins building. Yes, it's part of that study. So it's got, basically it's renovating the east end is going to be shell and core space, basically. So adding a hallway and down the middle and adding restrooms. And at the western end is the offices and the lab space and the Department of Ag's kitchen.
Yeah.
You walk through there, right?
Yeah.
So it's that end is going to be fixed up the offices, maybe make some shared kitchen space and a larger shared classroom/conference room.
Yeah.
And then partitioning the lab space and moving our offices over there.
Okay.
So that we could then have this available for redevelopment. Yeah. So that's what's in the 1.8.
And again, these are not asking us to approve those specific events. This is to set aside money to identify money in the budgets, how it would be spent for the capital improvements if so approved by the board later.
That being said, but also to say, I mean, I think it is fair to say, though, when you set aside money with the intention of doing X, it's, that doesn't mean it's a done deal, but it's just essentially, it carries much more weight.
Yeah, than this direction.
Yeah, yeah, right. And then the next step would be, after board approval, would be, I've got to go procurement to get actual cost numbers, and those would have to be approved by the board as well. So, but yes, it gives pretty strong direction that's where we're going. And frankly, the board has already given the direction to move forward with the Collins project. So it's, this is, I think, consistent with what they directed.
And this is out of reserves?
Yeah, this is,
all of reserves.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there are no other funding for that.
We've never, this might be a whole other, but issuing a bond, we have that ability to do, don't we?
We do.
With interest rates becoming less attractive? I mean, have we ever thought about that?
Yes, and frankly, with our savings rate or our investment earnings so low, relative rate to what borrowing rates are, probably doesn't make any sense to go borrow the money. But the other side of it is that most of the time, I think it has to be revenue-backed. So we have to have specific long-term leases that match up with the debt issue. Which is what the way they developed most of this was with FSU and FAMU doing long-term leases that then became part of the debt issue and said, this is how we do it, because we have no general assets that we can use as collateral.
Right.
And we can't use the general collateral of the county, for example.
And we can't tax.
And we can't tax.
Can't tax.
So yes, this is, it's going to be a challenge for future development, but we're going to have to identify very specific leasable projects and with people with money if we're going to develop other things in the future. And that's where we're going to have to look at some of these public-private partnerships that we might be able to do for the bigger developments.
Yeah.
And for things like renovating this space and things like that. I don't see us spending the money to renovate this and turn it into a kitchen. I think you go find people who know about food,
right,
and let them lease the space and renovate it.
So we
have their nickel.
of course, we knew this, but you know, we're betting a lot on the on this project, right? Because it's a, what does that represent? About 50% of what we have in reserves, right?
Pretty close, yes. Yeah. Well, and again, the question is, what's the purpose of the reserves?
Oh, of course, yeah. I agree. Yeah. I mean, well, but on one project, 50% of your reserves. I mean, you know, that's
well,
that's
either the project's too big,
bet a lot
or our reserves are too small.
Yeah, that's, that's true. I guess we'll find out.
I wish the reserves were bigger. And trust me, I understand. I mean, that's our safety net right now for those years of those down years when the tenants walk out on you and you're not ready for it. Yeah, absolutely. So that's why I highly recommend that we at least have $500,000 to cover in 5 years when the DOT lease is up, that we can at least cover that out of reserves.
Right.
And then you probably want, frankly, I think you probably want another million on top of that. Just for operating reserves for your, I mean, that might be a little high, but at least another $500,000, I think. So,
and it took us how long to get to that reserves? Just out of curiosity.
We have not added to the reserves in the last 5 years, I will tell you that.
Interesting.
So, I did talk to the former chair of the board at one time, Barron. What's his first name?
Paul.
Tom. Tom Barron, yeah. Yeah. Not President Barron, the other President Barron. And he told me that they had basically been socking stuff away for just such occasion, that they were just trying to build a little, not so much an endowment, but some significant reserves because they knew in the future there would be some revenue issues. And maybe he knew about the DOT lease, that was part of it, I don't know.
Make some rules.
But yeah, so I... It's going to be an issue. We've definitely got to get our revenue producing capacity filled up.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm just looking as well at the trail because I was a huge proponent of it last year. Looking at it, almost double the cost.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God. I don't know that I love anything outdoors for $275,000.
Depends on how long the trail is, right?
Yeah.
And again, maybe the answer is we don't do the lighting.
Yeah.
And I'd be okay with that. I'd be more inclined to do it without the lighting than not do it at all. I think it's important to the flow of the park, the ability to get people off the sidewalk.
Oh, I agree.
I agree. I wish I hadn't done it already.
Yeah.
So again, that is certainly within the purview of the budget committee to suggest, you know, doing something less. I think it was 140,000, I believe, what we had last year.
Right.
And so the others, some small items. We finally have a consensus in the Freeway complex to move the smoking area out from the atrium and into the mountain under a tree somewhere. And then our usual, if needed, HVAC budget, which Stephanie just decided to spend today.
I'm sorry.
So you just never know when that's going to happen. So we have looked at the age of our equipment and everything, and we're still within normal operating conditions on most of it, and this is actually relatively small items.
Yes,
like
it's very old.
3,000 was what it was. I didn't get a chance to read
that. $2,800 for a Goodman, and I think $3,500 for a train.
Something in Park Services space. Is that one of the split systems?
Yes, and it goes to their server room.
Yeah, so
they currently don't have air in the server room.
Yeah, we got to get that fixed real quick. So anyway, that's why that's in there. We only have five buildings, inevitably something will happen. And then this is, I think we'll call it Stephanie's wish list.
It is.
So I sent you some pictures and narrative related to that. You know, the big question is, are we prepared to dip into the reserves even further at this point? And fix some of these things. And this is just, in terms of timing, this is just my best guess as to what the priorities ought to be. Some of this stuff I think we can cover out of the current operating budget, and that's what I have under current OPEX. I have some stuff that I have hold on because I'm not convinced the condition is as bad as maybe it needs to be in order to fix it. It's, I think there's some tweaking we can do to make it okay, like painting versus replacing the stainless steel. So that's what I have in the hold column. And then the big things are the restrooms. When I look at those restrooms, they're kind of disgusting. Mm-hmm. As one of the tenants was sitting here.
excuse me. Would you agree?
Yeah, I don't even use the one that's in this picture.
Yeah, those are the atrium restrooms. But those numbers that I got, they are just from, they're from one of my general contractors. I can literally piece it out, kind of put it together like a puzzle piece and whittle all those numbers down. It was just to give us an idea of what it would cost for a full remodel per restroom.
Yeah, those restrooms are outside in the atrium area, but I think a lot of people use them.
Yeah, a lot of people use them.
And the Morgan Building restrooms are similar, in similar condition.
Yeah.
So.
Other questions? Comments?
Yeah, the other part of that was the AC. And so I don't know if you know what a mini split is. It's, Stephanie, describe it better.
You have your condensing unit outside, and then you have the portion that pushes the cool air in. We only need two. We can put one on the right, one on the left. You've got a restroom on the second floor, a restroom on the bottom floor. So it'll be vented to go for both restrooms. They can be timed to run by certain times of the day. So we can program them that way. They're energy efficient. Right now there's nothing in there, and the heaters in there don't work either. So in the summer it's miserable. In the winter.
They have wall heaters?
Yeah, there's little mini wall heaters that are in horrible condition.
1950 era.
They are.
Well, that is at least 1987.
Yeah, they're pretty old.
And I know we've done work to try to keep them running.
Yes, yes. But
it's never had AC in there.
Never. And the ceiling tiles are bowing, and it's just a miserable experience to use the restroom in the atrium area. So.
So again, what I've got in here is in the current year, doing the Fuquay and the Morgan restrooms, another $100,000, and then in year two, and again, this is all we're not approving actually doing in year two, but we're going to kick it down the road another year, and here's another $83,000, and this is the parking lots, which we've been kicking down the road for, no pun intended, for quite a while. Now we've done some sealing and striping, and frankly, I think the Knight and Phipps, we might have trouble just sealing and striping because the last time we talked to them, they were like, oh, you need to overlay this. So, but that's something we have to work on. But to at least do Morgan Johnson and Collins, especially, and one of the thought was, let's get through the renovation of Collins and make that something we do to make that whole area look a lot better. I don't know if you guys have seen what it looks like over there, if you've noticed when you've been over there, but. I'm sure you have. Parking lots are not good. And then year three, just do some of these other minor things. And I mean, again, we might be able to get some of that done out of the operating budget. What I do is when we get to the end of the year, if I've got some extra operating budget and there's some things like this we can do, we make that decision to go ahead and do it. But, and I don't think there's some areas in the atrium I think that can be touched up and be fine.
Yeah, I can whittle that down too. That was a general price for one of my painting contractors. I think we have a few more than that.
But again, I think we could probably get by with touch up and do that out of operating budget for now.
Gotcha.
So that's, I think I've covered pretty much everything. Any other questions, comments?
Your revenue potential, you comfortable with any other comments on that on tab G?
Or yeah, we did talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
It was up there on the screen.
Yeah.
And that's just, again, looking forward to see, you know, what's out there. We have the potential. We just got to get it done. And so a lot of this stuff, like I said, you know, sprucing up more a little bit will feed into it to try to help be more leasable.
Any other comments, questions, observations, recommendations? Chair is ready to receive, if it's appropriate from anyone, a motion to approve this budget and forward it to the executive committee for their evaluation.
Are you all okay with this $100,000 roughly coming out for
park
trip? For the for the restrooms, basically, and then on the trail. I know you mentioned that. Do you want to leave that at 275, or do you want to recommend the 140? We call it 150. I think the number.
Let me ask a question. Yeah. When you talk to the potential contractors for this trail, is there any kind of economies of scale you get by doing it early on, or you save some additional money for, like, you know, already being located and up and running versus, you know, if we build a light, if we do the lighting, construction is going ongoing versus coming back at some
point. Yeah, it'll definitely cost more.
Like significantly more?
Yeah, because they'll have to, I mean, they already have equipment down here to clear and, yeah. And I mean, I didn't ask specifically. This was, the numbers came from Public Works.
But I asked, I was concerned about, say, for instance, if this, you know, right now it's $275,000, and you come back 2 years from now, and now the cost is another $300,000, and you could have done it cheaper. But at the same time, as your revenue grow, you can add that additional lighting at that time, and it just be a risk that we have to take.
Yeah, that's, I mean, and again, the numbers came from Public Works, and they do a lot of trails.
Yeah.
And it's the, they have some pretty set numbers for, you know, here's the dollar cost per foot of this, whatever. So that's how they constructed that.
Yeah. Do you have a feel for the expectation of how many people would be on those trails after dark? I know if it go down to Cascade Park, there are many, many people down there after dark on the trails. But here, I don't know what I would expect in my mind to think there would be people out here on the trail at night.
And I would agree. I think that it's kind of a catch-22. You put the lights out there, and you're going to attract all kinds of elements. We already attract elements here on our back deck. We find stuff out there all the time. And there's security lights out here. So the other component to this is with what the Mag Lab is working on, which is an extended stay facility or short-term stay facility off the back of the Mag Lab that will join the trail. They actually presented me with plans to go before our DRC. Unfortunately, they canceled at the last minute because they've got budget concerns as well. And their project kind of got out of whack on budget. There's 12 beds, I mean, but that would have been a nice amenity for those people who are staying at night. My concern is security. Is it better to have lights and have people think they're safe back there, or not have lights and have people not go back there?
I feel like my gut is maybe without lights, because I feel like this is... If this isn't this trail, I don't see it being something like a Cascades Park where it's like central downtown, there are amenities, there's all kind of development that's taking place around it. I think it's almost more like Piney Z, like the trail around Piney Z, like outdoor, you know, weekend kind of thing. And I almost think like no one is going to use the trail at night if, not no one, but less people will use the trail at night if there are no lights versus, if, like you said, if you build it, they will come. And then that doesn't, just because there are lights doesn't mean that people don't still hurt themselves or something like that.
And if the goal is to get folks off the sidewalks, you know, if they decide to get out and take a stroll, they can still utilize the sidewalks. The traffic is decreased significantly at night typically.
Although it's still a little scary out here at night.
Mm-hmm. I'm hearing a consensus for a removal of the lighting proposal or component. Am I reading the census of the committee correctly?
Yes.
That's what I think,
Okay. Yeah, the only reason I suggest we go up a little bit is because, you know, over time with construction costs are rising crazy fast right now. And
so there's your $100,000 for the
For the bathrooms.
For the bathrooms,
yeah. Yeah.
Any other suggestions for modifications to the proposal before it goes before the executive committee?
I think, however, we, to Keith's point earlier, kind of make mention, and Mr. Chair, maybe that you're the conduit to do that, but make mention of that conversation about, you know, if we approve, I think, the $100,000 for a new position, that position, the conversation about what that position actually does, director of incubation versus recruitment of companies, like just the idea of that not being settled, because though I agree with you that this is not approving or denying a new position, when we voted to approve this money to be set aside with the understanding that Ron has started to develop this program description and things like that, I mean, it's a pretty strong recommendation. So I guess I would just want to go on the record as saying I think there's still a thoughtful conversation that the board needs to have about if we do hire another person or need some additional HR support, what that person actually does, if it is totally incubation or if it's something else. Sorry if that's a bit.
And that's why I propose that we have a real strong position description available for everybody to read and understand, debate, evaluate.
Well, we'll change that to new person. Okay. I will adjust the narrative to include, because I'm going to use the same basic documentation to forward to the exec and then to the board, but I will add to the narrative the description of an alternative hire. I think we could leave the dollar amount as is, because that's kind of like worst case. And then we can work on a position description for both.
Okay. Perfect.
Everybody comfortable?
Yes, sir.
Motion to recommend this to the executive committee as we have modified it.
So moved.
There's a second.
Second.
Any further discussion? Those in favor signify saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by like sign. Motion approved to submit to the executive committee with our recommendation. Okay. This will go to the executive committee at its September 27th meeting, and it will then go to the board on its October 5th meeting. Any other comments or suggestions about those dates? I think that's in line with step, 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 and getting it done appropriately in the right sequence. Okay, any new business to come before the committee? Let me thank you, Ron, for your hard work on this, and
Stephanie.
And Stephanie, both together. By having this presented in such a professional way, it makes it easy for us to evaluate and to comment on, and I thank you for that hard work, both of you.
We keep working to improve it every year.
Well, it gets better every year.
The narrative was particularly helpful this year, I appreciate it, yeah.
Any other items to come before the committee? Hearing none, we stand adjourned.
Thank you.
All right.